Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 23rd on the west coast of the United States, now September the 24th in the eastern and central time zones, as well as everywhere east of the Atlantic Ocean. We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening live or on a rebroadcast archive on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as blogtalkradio.com. And we also want to welcome anyone who is in the U.S. military around the world tuning into this show. I have had the privilege of having many of you join this broadcast over the past couple of months, and as well as tuning in when I'm on Drew Raine's Marines Disquisition radio show, heard on both of those networks I just mentioned, and I'm honored to have you listening in whatever time of day or night it may be in your part of the world. We want you to know, as a reminder, that we stand behind you and in your efforts, whatever they may be, serving our government. Though we know that our government's got some problems. Our economy, the world economy, is suffering tremendously because of a lot of deception that's going on and this power play to take over our country. So we may refer to that from time to time, not asking you to believe anything, but certainly encouraging you to do some research, do some fact-finding, and check these things that we talk about on this show out for yourself. Our goal is to bring you the truth the best we know how. That comes with a price, as we found out very recently. My publisher-editor at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins, passed away Saturday morning. We suspect foul play. We are rightfully making that charge, and in time, we will have more facts. But we continue to ask you to pray, not just for Don's spiritual salvation, but also for the peace of mind and the safety and well-being of his widow, my good friend and also co-publisher and co-editor at the Idaho Observer, Ingrid Castle Harkins. And our prayers go out to Ingrid tonight, as well as all day long. She's going through quite a bit, and I'm sure any of you who've lost a loved one can understand that. Don's passing came far too soon. He was only 46 years old. Well, tonight's guest is a frequent guest here on Evident Footprints, and he has appeared on some other shows on the Patriot Networks. Over the years, he's been on many, many shows, probably more than I have, for that matter. He's got one of the best research sites, if not the best research site on the Internet. It's called educate-yourself.org. He is a researcher. He is the editor of that website, and he's a prolific journalist in his own right, and actually is in communication with folks from all over the world on a daily basis just because of the nature of how broad his knowledge and his experience is in many, many areas. And I welcome back to Evident Footprints tonight for your listening and hopefully an educational pleasure, my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. It's a pleasure to be back on the show with you.
Well, every time you're on the show, Ken, we get into a deep, deep topic, and I know we will again tonight. That's basically all you deal with. Outside of what you might find to pass the time away, whether that's watching a Japanese movie with your wife or listening to music, which you're very prolific at and very knowledgeable, or checking out new science, new scientific discoveries and revelations, or helping people find a path to a higher consciousness and a spirituality. What is on your mind tonight?
Well,
I'm going to give you the opportunity.
Okay. Well, I'd like to discuss a little bit of philosophical perspectives because of the times in which we're living now. Unexpected passing of Don Harkin is an area that I like to just talk a little bit about. But also, you began the show, you addressed the people who might be listening to the show and are in the military. And I have some thoughts I'd like to express to those folks, men and women, who are currently in the military. And I just like to address anyone who's in the listening audience about the nature of humanity and what we're facing today. So, first, Don, I passed my 46th birthday some years ago, and I've lived the majority of my life, in peace and in good health and free from major tragedies in life. I had a normal and healthy upbringing here in America. I had good parents, and I had my larger family was mostly people who were loving and got along and stayed together, and there wasn't a lot of divorce or fights or custody battles or any of that sort of thing that rends apart a lot of families today. So I enjoyed a good life here in the country. And when I got out of high school, I went into the military because I was eager for adventure and to get out of the house and ready to be a man and all that. And of course, we're naive when we're young. We absorb the education given to us by the school system, and the teachers, of course, are passing on information which they were taught, and none of them, I'm sure, intentionally were interested in deceiving, but they were just passing along information that they were taught was conventional and they assumed was correct and accurate. We know now at this point in our life that much of the information we're taught when we're young is distorted. Some of it is out and out untrue. So particularly when it comes to the military, we have the image, especially when I went in, of America being the good guys of the world. In fact, I just got an email from somebody that I posted to my site, and I titled it Lamenting the America of Yesterday. A guy in Australia, I believe, he's saying that he used to think so highly of America, but I guess he was here some years ago and he felt America and Britain were the safekeepers of the world in terms of freedom and democracy, defense and all that. That's of course the mindset I had, and I'm sure it's the mindset today that many young people go in the military have. Typically, people of a lower economic strata go into the military. They're looking for education often, and they can't afford to go to college, so gives them an opportunity to get a technical or some higher education while in the military. And of course, they offer bonus money for re-upping, and they offer incentive money just to join. So I understand why people continue to go in. However, the time is long overdue that people who are in the military, who are in law enforcement, and the parents of people in the military and the grandparents, etc., need to come up to speed and recognize who's running the country and who's running the Pentagon. And it's not the sort of people that most Americans would approve of. They look nice. They sound nice. They look like they're in charge. They wear suits. They seem very professional. But they're, by and large, evil men, intent on an evil goal. And the goal is the destruction of the United States and its people. And the loyal citizens of this country simply have to come up to speed on that. Most people don't know that. Many more know it today than knew it, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago. I discovered it myself around 1994. But we're in the end game now. And the idea of forced vaccinations being thrust on people around the world, not just here, but in most countries around the world, at least those who are part of the UN WHO organization and have agreed to those stipulations from the World Health Organization, etc., are being told that they have to take this this poison swine flu shot, which will, in most cases, cause the person to sicken and eventually probably die. So we're at a crossroads. This is really the 11th hour. And none of these schemes of poisoning, the bulk of the world's population via this vaccine would succeed if those who are used as cogs in this machinery, namely those in the military, those in law enforcement, those in Homeland Security or National Guard, these are the individuals who these evil individuals in control of our government, in control of most major governments of the world, will use or plan on using to enforce these measures. And if those individuals would come to the realization that their cooperation is essential for this scheme to work, and if that they decide they're not going to go there, they're not going to cooperate with orders that, you know, are similar to what Nazi death guards would have been told during World War II, if they're not going to cooperate with tyranny and with the orders from individuals who are essentially traitors to the Constitution, traitors to the people of the country, if in mass you would have this resolve not to cooperate with these orders, well, then the entire scheme will dissolve. There will be no forced vaccination. There will be no internment and detention camps and et cetera. If the individuals assigned that task say, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to go there. And if those in healthcare, nurses, doctors, et cetera, are told you must vaccinate people or you must get vaccinated yourself with this killer shot, say, no way, I'm not doing it. Goodbye, you can take the job. If we had that level of courage and commitment, the New World Order, dire straits we're facing now, would simply, the whole scheme would collapse. And then they would have to regroup and go to Plan B, which would be a much more, let's say, gradual attempt at killing off the world's population. Of course, by then, I think enough of us would have gained enough consciousness expansion that we would start removing from office those who are betraying us. There's an election coming up in 2010. For those states that have recall, they should start look to organizing on a grassroots level and removing these people who are cooperating with this genocide agenda. Now, of course, that's the entire executive branch. Of course, we know the man who's calling himself the president is an illegal alien. He has no authority. He has no standing to be the president. He's a criminal. And all those who are obstructing the process of trying to bring that fact to the attention of the American public, those in the Democratic Committee whose job it was to ensure that he was a bona fide citizen, these people need to be removed from office. So I'm very concerned about the next few months. The swine flu thing is, for those who take it, is going to result in a serious situation. A lot of people will, quote, develop this hoax swine flu due to the vaccine. And as a result, they use that, those developing cases, as justification for greater draconian moves.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I'm not aware if you've been following the recent discussion and the studies that are coming out, the alarming studies that are coming out regarding Gardasil, which has been given to a large number of very young girls who have been developing all sorts of health problems. One of the major issues is a rabid development of this papilloma virus,
right,
that is just wreaking havoc with all these young girls' health. There seems to be this concerted effort to sterilize people, and that's become a concern of these vaccinations as well. I'm presuming you've heard some of that, at least.
Oh yes, but you can ventilate more on that. I mean, that's a very important topic to, you know, expand on.
Well, this is coming through this what we I have to put quotes around the word education anymore, because it's indoctrination is what it is. This peddling of the sex education of 5-year-olds in school, the suggestion even to bring this into preschool. I mean, this is, not only is it insane, it's obscene what's being done. You know, we have so many laws protecting the welfare of children, and yet at the same time, under the guise of education, they bring all of these programs into the school system, and a lot of parents are totally unaware of what's going on. They find out about these vaccinations, particularly Gardasil, after the fact, and that this is being used as a birth control method there's no excuse for that. I really see no reason for this other than they're trying to intentionally destroy the reproductive capabilities of young girls well before they reach maturity, well before they are capable of having babies or even thinking about it. But this indoctrination into sex is okay if you're using a condom or if you're on this drug, or this is all, again, geared towards making billions of dollars for the pharmaceutical companies and turning these children into guinea pigs. There's no other explanation for it. And the falsified tests that are conducted, you know, they use these vaccinations on elephants in Africa and produced a generation of elephants that are incapable of reproducing. So what are you looking at? The intentional extermination of a species as magnificent as an elephant? And there is no excuse for any of them. So, I just wanted to make that point that, it's not just the flu vaccinations, whether it's the bird flu, the swine flu, the human flu, the combination, the recombinant viruses, the adjuvants, squalene, thimerosal, and Lord knows what else they're putting in there, the live viruses that they claim they're not putting in these vaccines, or attenuated viruses. you can't trust anything they're saying because they're lying about everything. It doesn't matter. They're lying about the job market. They're lying about the economy. They're lying about the recovery of the economy. They're lying about the stock market, the hedge funds, the derivatives, the offshore bank accounts, the Federal Reserve, everything. They're lying about everything. It's just insanity. And, yep. and I think, you know, we often talk about, you and I, as well as many of my other guests, talk about the role of the individual's awakening to self-responsibility. You know, you as an adult, you're expected to love and care for your children and to nurture them. And if you're dissatisfied with the education that they're getting in school, you know, when your kid graduates from high school and has to work at McDonald's and can't even count change, there's a problem there. You know, I have to ask myself, what are parents doing with their children? What kind of relationship do they have with their kids? Mm-hmm. And if they don't get it in the schools, they're getting dogma and a certain kind of perverted doctrine in the churches. They're getting that on the political scene. They're getting, you know, all this social programming that's going on, and they're affected by the media because most of the parents are brainwashed as well. You know, they figure as long as the kid is sitting in front of the TV and they're not out on the street that there's no harm being done, but little do they realize that they might be safer out on the street despite the chaos that's out there. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you. The time has come for ordinary people to not lay down for this continued ratcheting up of tyranny. It's gone way too far. They've accelerated their agenda by light years in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine where we were 10 years ago or 15 years ago, where we are now.
Yeah.
Which people are lamenting about, oh, I have to take a swine shot. No. The time has come to say no and to use your God-given brains to recognize how serious the betrayal is. It can't get any more serious than this. We're on the verge of allowing these psychopaths to murder 6.5 billion people because they're telling us we have to do it. Everyone in a position of law enforcement, military, etc., has to say, no way. Ordinary people, when they're told you must do this, must do that, it's against the Constitution, they have to say, no way. I'm just not going to do it, and you're not going to force me to do it. And what you're doing is criminal, and it's against the Constitution. And don't quote me your undebated Model Emergency Powers Act. Don't quote me that administrative crap. It means nothing next to the words of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really come down to the 11th hour now, and I just feel that those who take the vaccine have just given away their life because their illness, their immune reaction to the, I guess there's going to be a total of 3 vaccines. It's going to cause chaos in their own life, obviously, but in the lives of their families. But it will cause the whole country to have a convulsion of sorts because they will use that sickness as the pretext for forcing vaccines on others who don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, this is the 1918 Spanish flu multiplied a million times. In order to save the country, you have to let us vaccinate you. And the people need to realize that all these wonderful radio interviews with Dr. A. Truat, Bill Deagle, all the essays now on the internet about the reality of the swine flu, it's time to draw a line in the sand and absolutely resolve you're not going to allow your kids to get vaccinated or your family, and whatever it takes to prevent it, that's what you're going to do. It's better to lose your life in saving your liberty, and particularly the safety and liberty of your family members, than to allow yourself to be vaccinated, and then you're just going to have a slow death and not have the strength or energy to be able to resist on any level. This swine flu vaccination is the, you know, the boldest and most dangerous play ever in the New World Order takeover. There'll be nothing to talk about if the majority of people take this vaccine or allow themselves or force or feel or convince themselves that they have no other choice. You have a choice. You say no. And whatever it takes to enforce your will, that's what you do. If enough people rebel, there will be no forced vaccination scenario.
Yeah. Personally, I find it absolutely ridiculous that there are people, you know, first of all, that there's this proclamation of a pandemic. We know that's totally bogus, that's orchestrated, and they're using the propaganda machine, which is the media, the mainstream media, whether it's TV, mainstream radio, or newspapers, to put this out, to just keep repeating this mantra that
right.
This has to be curtailed. Mm-hmm. And we know the World Health Organization is at the root of this, is promoting this. The UN is promoting this.
Mm-hmm.
And I find so many contradictions in their propaganda as well. You know, they had Muammar Gaddafi on today giving a speech and raising some really good points, by the way, saying that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Why are we in Iraq murdering millions of people? Why are we in Afghanistan? I'm not saying I'm a fan of Gaddafi. He's part of this international military industrial complex, and if there is terrorism, it's the governments that are doing it. They're the ones behind it, not individuals. The governments have the money. They recruit the people. They train the people. They have them play a role. They give them a large sum of money. He brought some interesting points out about the Taliban. You know, like, who are the Taliban and why are the Taliban a threat? Well, we know that they're in Iraq because of the drug industry, and it has nothing to do with the Taliban. They're in Afghanistan because of a pipeline, an oil pipeline. They're not in Afghanistan because of any threat that the Taliban are to this agenda. And this ruse about Osama bin Laden, and you know, he made many points. I have to say that he made more sense than anybody else I heard. And despite the fact that he was dressed up looking like he was about to go on stage with Parliament Funkadelic, you know, I tried to not judge what he was saying by his attire, but by the message and whatever that's worth. I see no use for the UN, to tell you the truth, because all it is the Illuminati's modus operandus to take over the world, to instill this new world order that they like to call it, and all it is a old world disorder. It's just a continuation of the corruption, but an escalation of it, and the tyranny and the murder of innocent people around this planet.
And as an aside to Gaddafi's remark, I'd like you just to remind listeners what really happened to Osama bin Laden, since he is how is he created? What happened to him? They just came out with the announcement of a tape. Let's nail that down. Is Osama bin Laden still alive?
As far as I know, no. He would have died in December of 2001 from acute kidney failure.
Right.
He was on dialysis. He was getting treatment. Actually, he was getting treatment, via the CIA. He was recruited by the CIA.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. And I've had Ted Gunderson and other guests on this show, including you, who know the story behind this, that he was a partner of the Bushes, and they recruited him. They had done business with his family when they were in Saudi Arabia. They were part of the Carlyle Group. I mean, you know, this is most people don't look into this. Most people don't research this well enough to know, but we've been talking about this for a number of years.
The videotapes that they put out after December 2001, you saw them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how, you know, let's ventilate that a little. How absurd, how far was the images of the guy on that tape from the real bin Laden? I mean,
well, that guy looked almost like Saddam Hussein's double, if you want to get down to brass tacks. You remember the clown that they showed us getting his teeth checked with a flashlight?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, by a doctor shortly. You know, mm-hmm. They find this guy hiding in a hole in the ground. Come on, what a story. You know, it was ridiculous. And the guy that they brought forth for Saddam Hussein looked nothing like him. Absolutely nothing like him. And even in a couple of months, you couldn't make yourself look like that. Nobody can grow their beard and their hair that fast. And change
Perfect.
The shape
right.
of their nose.
Right. Shape, the length of the beard.
Change the shape of the jaw and the teeth.
The teeth, and he never wore a beard. He wore a mustache.
Yeah.
Suddenly, he's only seen with a beard. He was a double. How is it a double? I just want you to ventilate the response. How is it a double of Saddam Hussein could have the same memories of Saddam Hussein so that in answering questions he would know the same information that the real Saddam would know?
Oh, they have the technology, and they've had it for years to download the thoughts of a person. Or let's just say that was an impossibility. They certainly can brainwash another individual and compartmentalize that individual into several different personalities, and then just on cue turn on whatever personality they want. You yourself know that some of the victims of the MK Ultra's presidential models, the sex slaves of the government run by Henry Kissinger and for a long time Bob Hope. Yes, I did say Bob Hope. from Cleveland, Ohio, of all places. Bob Hope was Bryce Taylor's handler and facilitated the meetings that she carried out with a lot of famous people, presidents, politicians, celebrities in the music industry and in Hollywood, and many who she wrote about. These were not wild stories. She knew many, many secrets and many things that she didn't talk about, including the space program, for instance. Now, right now, they don't want anything about space or bird flu or swine flu to come out in the form of truth. They don't want anybody speaking the truth about these things. So those are probably the two biggest things that we should be talking about. But, to go back into answering your question, when they create these individuals that are playing these roles, you know, did we ever see a live version of Osama bin Laden on TV? No, we didn't. We saw these prepared movies. And he was never where they said he was. And they never admitted to the fact that as far back as 1986, when he had a meeting in the the Hilton Hotel in Sherman Oaks, California,
mm-hmm.
when Ted Gunderson and Ralph Oberg and Michael Riconosciuto were all there talking about Stinger missiles and Red Mercury and computer software and computers and money, large volumes of cash, and taken on a tour of some five military bases, clean-shaven, dressed like an American, or dressed in Western clothing, and taken around as a partner of the United States, somebody who was going to take on the Soviets in Afghanistan. And really what they did was they created this pretext for us to go in there. It took some time, but the idea was to go in there, run a pipeline from Uzbekistan and then take over the poppy industry in Afghanistan. So, you know, the reasons for being there are not what they tell us they are. They started that, as I pointed out in many past shows, they started advertising that the night of 9/11 on NBC News. They showed bombs going off in Afghanistan. That was to psychologically prepare us for something that did not occur for another 2 years or so, but always had been in their plans, always.
Right.
And we're finding evidence of that. We're not alone. You know, Christopher Story has been questioning the purpose of Great Britain's forces being over there. And, of course, you know, many British soldiers have come back saying the same thing that the American soldiers were saying.
Right.
In the case of Pat Tillman, when he spoke to Noam Chomsky, the word got out, and they went back and they murdered him. Just
right.
silenced him. So you have these these incidents that are glossed over by the mainstream media, but in reality, there's a basis in that. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Gaddafi actually brought that up. He brought up the question. He asked the rhetorical question, why invade Afghanistan? For what purpose? They're not telling us the truth. They lie about the history as it is in the history books. Why would they start telling us the truth now? But do we have to put up with it? Do we have to remain silent, or can we speak out about it?
Yeah.
We do have that freedom of speech, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's time for those in the military particularly to come to grips with the facts. The evidence is so overwhelming for anyone who simply looks at the facts. 9/11 was an inside job. There's no way in God's green earth in which a 110-story steel-frame building is going to collapse on itself because an airliner flies into the 110th floor. It's impossible. Common sense, average common sense tells you that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical evidence of the thermite, the high-tech weapons, the boiling steel, fires that the heat signature that continued for weeks. There was, you know, probably some sort of high-level mini nuke devices used to bring that building down. And all the people who got sick in Ground Zero as a result of mysterious radiation, it should be obvious to anyone that the entire 9/11 was a false flag operation to create the pretext and excuse to attack first Afghanistan and then Iraq. There is no justification to attack those countries. Therefore, the fact that we're there now doesn't mean it's okay to be there. We caused well over 1.5 million Iraqi deaths since invading that country. 99% of them civilians who don't carry weapons, who had nothing. I'm sure people in this country would form into insurgent groups if we were invaded by the Chinese or Russians. There's nothing odd about Iraqis trying to defend themselves against a foreign invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So people, particularly in the military, need to wake up, need to wake up. And this goes for, you know, commanders, brass. The country is going to come to an end if they don't participate in its rescue. They're going for the throat now. And it's time to say no. If you had military personnel refuse to redeploy to Afghanistan, Iraq, no matter what, the brig, whatever it is, fine. I'm not going back. If they did this in mass, our so-called policy there would change overnight.
Oh, yeah. They're compelling all the military to take these vaccinations, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the reports we're getting from those that have gotten them, there are anywhere from 3 to 12 hours after getting these vaccines, many, many people have gotten very ill and died. It's not that this is a natural bug going around. We're not even in flu season. Right. I mean, this is intentional. We've seen the patents. We've seen the fact that the viruses are patented. These people's greed is absolutely off the charts and insatiable.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the next thing they're going to do is patent death. You know?
Yeah.
And they've, in a sense, they've done that with these secret insurance policies that they have on everybody.
Well, you might expand on that too, particularly for people in the military. Every time someone in the military dies, what's going on behind the scenes with insurance?
Oh, well, despite the policies that they've taken out on their own behalf or on the behalf of their dependents, which for those folks who are non-military people are their families. They're dependent on them and their pay as a source of income, and whatever benefits they get if they're overseas. Some soldiers have their families overseas with them, and some have them here in the States. Some have stayed behind, depending on, you know, whether they're in an area where they're not, they haven't been called up to active duty in a theater of war. And let's think about that term, theater. What does that mean? You know, it's mm-hmm. it's following a script. The theater right. is where the script is acted out.
Right.
It's all by design. It's all by plan because they're making billions and trillions of dollars.
Right.
In the manufacture of the weapons and all the support equipment, much as we know from Smedley Butler's War is a Racket, we know that they made shoes and uniforms and things that never got to the soldiers at all.
Yes.
Somebody made a killing, and the people in this country paid for that. The American
right.
people paid for those things, and somebody profited from it. And I'm sure it found its way out the back door and into somebody else's back door in another part of the world.
Right.
And these entities created their own little side business. Dumping all these things that we paid for. We've watched the same things happen with our jobs. Our jobs have been taken overseas in the corporations, and there's no accountability for this. These people don't have to answer to this.
That's the truth of it, Don. That's why I like to hear you go over these things, because they bear repeating. Young people don't know. We don't have, the United States used to have the greatest heavy production capacity in the world for everything, for steel, for cars, for railroads, for machinery. The United States was the leader in the world.
And for many types of technology, too.
Right. We could continue to be the leader today. But the traitors, the Bill Clintons, the George Bushes. The traitors began a policy in the 60s of pushing, gutting the steel markets, for instance, the steel manufacturing in this country. They helped encourage the growth of, not that I have anything against Japanese automakers, not at all, but instead of American automakers following the design lead of Japanese, they stuck to a antiquated design that was popular in the 50s. They did that through the 70s and 80s when they should have been designing small economical cars. Intentional dumbing down in the education system is well known, but we dumbed down, you know, in a way of speaking, our production capabilities. We farm everything out. We used to make everything in this country: shirts, socks, shoes, plates, Tupperware, washing machines, sewing machines. Everything is made abroad now. It's not an accident. It was done intentionally to gut the country of its production might and to put us at the mercy of Red China. Let's remember, China is a communist country. We have traitors like Clinton giving away our missile secrets, our computer secrets, to China when he was in office. The public plays up Monica Lewinsky while he's giving away the farm. He's giving U.S. ports of entry to the control of the Chinese Communist Army. This is insane.
You know, this even goes back to the late 1950s, early 1960s, with the advent of the transistor. And you had the Rockefellers giving that to Japan under the guise of Sony Corporation, Standard Oil of New York.
Correct.
Sony Corporation. And they mass marketed transistors by developing products that consisted almost of nothing but transistors.
Yes.
And they did the same thing with the computer manufacturing industry, the chip manufacturing industry, the assembly service industry, and the customer service industry. There are people I know that have called the manufacturer of the particular computer they have, or even a certain software developed by a company that's run out of the country, and gotten the same person in India or Pakistan or some foreign country, the same name, you know, same individual. I mean, the odds of that are astronomical. It's happened to me several times, trying to get somebody. You know, they market these products here, but no one is accountable for servicing them. When they're in warranty, when they're brand new and they have problems. Because the standards of quality control are less in these countries. That's one thing that that we had going for us here, is we had great quality control on a lot of products. Now, granted, the automotive industry shot themselves in the foot when they made a product that was designed with intentional obsolescence built in. I've spoken to people that work in the steel manufacturing industry here that said we could build car parts that last forever, but they don't want to see that. They want to make a higher profit margin, and they want the cars to fall apart, so you have to go back and spend more money on a new one, which is just, again, going to repeat the same process, because they come up with ways to manufacture all the components, assemble them somewhere else, and have many of the parts, even though it's got an American name on the brand, it's all being run in foreign countries. And who ultimately will be responsible for those things? You know, what, look at what we had as a rescue method, a bailout where you have somebody, a politician, and the government controlling these companies. I mean, if that isn't communism, what is?
Exactly.
Or fascism, what is? Ken, we have a caller on the line, and I know normally when we're on a roll, you don't like to be interrupted, but I think we'll make an exception this evening.
Okay.
We have a regular caller, Ken, in North Carolina. So, Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints. What's your comment or question for Ken Adachi?
Well, I know you got on another subject, but I was trying to get your number, but for some reason it kept knocking all the numbers off your website. But I didn't know if you was aware of a retired Lieutenant Colonel Carmen Reynolds. She has a lawsuit to stop the forced vaccine in Florida. She's suing the governor, the Surgeon General in Florida, and there was someone else. But it's supposed to come up on October 1st to dismissal, but she has not got a lawyer. She's doing it on her own. She can't find a lawyer in Florida that will have the guts to help her, because if they do, they don't get no business. So, you know, anybody out there that's a lawyer that's in a different state that could help her, because she's suing for an unconstitutional forced vaccine. I just thought maybe I'd bring that to your attention.
Yeah, I think the method, I don't know if I would say that the vaccine is unconstitutional, but the method.
The forced vaccine.
Yes. Yeah. They say it's legal. That's the interesting thing. You know, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the FDA, all these organizations or bureaucracies are saying that this is legal. Because it's legal, it's acceptable. Well, you know, legal and constitutional are two different issues, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're not even from our country.
Yes. And, yeah, I mean, you know, this is definitely, you know, their power play to do away with humanity, and it's time people wake up. But I appreciate you sharing that. Do you have any other comments?
Yeah, I just...
Or Ken, do you want to respond?
Yeah, well, I just want to say it. It's music to my ears to hear that. If you'll send me a link to that party's case, I'll post it on my site. It's music to my ears because that's exactly the type of courage that I alluded to at the beginning of the talk. The politicians aren't going to bail us out. They're part of the problem, certainly the federal politicians. There's too few of them who, you can count them on one or two hands. Forget Congress. They're sellouts for the most part. You get some more, people maybe on the state level and certainly on the city level who will be loyal. But you need individuals with guts. Unfortunately, it'd be nice if some lawyers, would think about trying to save the country or help to save the country. They're obviously cowards, to put it mildly. And when their family goes down, and when this country goes down, their income evaporates right along with it. So I don't understand why how they can think in such short term, but they do. So yeah, we need individuals. Yeah, you can't afford an attorney. You do it yourself. There's lots of people who have become self-educated in the law. They call it the redemption movement and so forth. I looked into it a bit myself, and it's not easy, but it's not impossible to learn what the rules of the road are and bring in a lawsuit, and to learn how to use the law to control the judge so he can't toss you or your lawsuit out. So I hope those who are familiar with, who have educated themselves on the law. There's one guy I have on my website. He's on my products page. His name is Richard McDonald. But there's a lot of people in this country who have who can handle themselves in court. Don't need a lawyer. These sort of people ought to be volunteering their help to anyone such as this, woman in the military who wants to fight this. the only people who are going to save this country are ordinary citizens like you and I, Ken.
Right.
The officialdom is not going to do it. They're the ones who are part of the takeover agenda. So, yeah, that's what I was saying in the beginning. The time is long overdue. Draw a line in the sand, and you know, you should network with your local friends. You know, your local community. But it's going to take a thousand people like this lady launching lawsuits in every state of the Union. It's time to do it. And so I'm thrilled you called in. It gets a little bit depressing when you see
nobody fighting.
Ken, in North Carolina, I want to ask you, don't you find it rather suspicious or monotonous, maybe is a better word, that every time one of these lawsuits comes out, the first thing they're moving for is dismissal? They're not even hearing the case.
I know it. That's corruption.
Yeah.
Evil. But I left that her email address on your Skype, and that article that I sent you has all the information that she talks about. And she had an interview with the TV there, and they sort of slammed her a little bit. So you might want to listen to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay, well,
I've known her for about a year.
That.
Yeah, great, great.
Okay,
yeah.
I just thought maybe I'd pass that on to your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Much appreciated, Ken. You take care, too.
You, too.
All right. Okay. Yeah, Ken Adachi. It's... Every time these suits come out, the first thing you hear about is, well, there's motion to dismiss.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. They want to, of course, they don't want that. That's, if you ever tried to go into court alone to represent yourself, I have, some years ago. Man, you have an uphill battle. You have to be prepared. The judges and the attorneys are used to their little club there. And the club is that the attorneys and the judges and the prosecutors, they have little meetings and they make little deals. And the schmuck who's paying all the bills is essentially, decided upon. When you go on your own, they want to get rid of you. So they immediately try to launch into things to get you to either reverse yourself or to cause you to lose standing or to otherwise get you to fold. Intimidation is what they employ every single time. The judge will not be kind or polite or forgiving towards you. It's quite the opposite. He will browbeat you, and you have to be prepared to keep your cool. You know, he would love it if you lost your temper and you blew your hat, so the bailiff would remove you. And so that's what they try to do that too. So you have to know how to play the game. And more power to this lady. And I hope, as I was telling him, people who already are skilled in self-defense, in court procedures, who aren't attorneys. Well, it'd be nice if attorneys kicked in, but I've sort of given up on them. They should be helping people who have no experience at all, like this lady, with the court system, so they aren't blown out of the water right away. So, yeah, I very much applaud that move.
Yeah, well, it's an indication that we have a total collapse of the rule of law, number one, and these guys are just serving to hide and protect and mask over the corruption that's going on. There's a lot of money invested in promoting these vaccines. The last thing they want to do is have a wrench in the works that slows that down.
Right.
But it's going to keep happening. It's going to come up from people all over the place. The first question one should ask is, are these suits filed with any competence and any legitimacy? Because if they're not, you're just going to see these dismissals over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's why it's necessary to try to get as much help as possible in mounting a pro se effort so that it isn't quickly and easily tossed. you're right. Again, the people who ought to be doing this, you know, lawyers who have the training and the experience, who should be concerned about the welfare of the country. If, you know, just an average Joe Blow like me or Drew Raines or Don Nikoloff, if we can see the betrayal and the treason as clear as day, why can't lawyers see it? And if they see it, and yet they don't do anything out of cowardice, then they deserve themselves, they deserve their family, and they deserve the country. When the country collapses or when we go to martial law, you think it's going to be business as usual for attorneys, for lawsuits, divorce? No, no, no. All that's going to stop. Everything's going to stop. And it's just going to be like a kind of, you know, the French Revolution in the streets. Because a lot of people aren't going to go along with forced vaccinations. I'm not. I'm sure other people feel the same way as I do. So we don't want it to come to that. We don't want to give them a pretext for martial law. We want to keep calm. We want to keep cool. But we want to use the courts and the law. We understand the judges are, a lot of judges are corrupt, and they're playing ball with these evil elements that are trying to destroy our country. But the law exists. It's there. If you have sufficient knowledge and skill, and Richard McDonald is a perfect example of it, sufficient knowledge and skill.
You mean Jeffrey McDonald?
No, I'm talking about a man named Richard McDonald.
Oh, okay.
He's one of these self-taught law persons. He has a course called State Citizenship. He's been doing this since the mid-80s. He used to be in law enforcement. He was treated badly by the court system, and he wanted to find out why. So he started to study on his own, and after he dug in for two or three years, he knew what to do, and he started teaching what's called state citizenship in the early 90s. He's still doing it today. He's on my products page under mm-hmm. videos, Richard McDonald. There's a lot of people like him. He's not the only one.
A very good one that I've been listening to off and on for the past 4 or 5 months is Lee Brobst, B-R-O-B-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
He's been studying this for 45 years.
Right.
And he's compiled basically all the research. And he gets into a couple of articles in the Constitution that lay this out perfectly, that you have to identify yourself as to who you are and not who they claim you are.
Yes.
And it's the old uppercase letters in your name, and the licensing and the certificates and all of these things. And the reason you go into the court. Now, when you bring about an action, you still are that same person. They prefer to call you a citizen, which immediately puts you in that category that has no way out. You might as well be wearing a straitjacket.
Yeah, well, just to clarify, the straitjacket is the term U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
The country was founded by state citizenships, and that's at the heart of Richard McDonald's teachings, is that when you go to the founding constitution of every state, it preceded the see, most people don't know, every state has two constitutions, the founding constitution and a second one that came 15 or 20 or 25 years later called the corporate constitution. What all these all governments, city, state, federal,
are operating under the corporate.
Are a corporate, right, right. So when you go back to the founding one, as a state citizen, you can separate yourself. But no, we don't use the term resident, because that has a very specific meaning under the corporate constitution. And that puts you in their bailiwick of authority. So we don't use the term U.S. citizen either. State citizen is okay. And you could say, well, I domicile in California, and that's okay. But I don't call myself a resident of this town. I have my domicile in this town. There's quite a difference. So There's a guy named Robert Menard in Canada just popped in my mind. There's lots of people who do this. So anyone who's hearing this talk and has names of people who are skilled in this, email them to me, email them to Don, and I'll put up a list of these people who are available to talk to get some counseling, etc. This would be wonderful if we can start a little grassroots deal here with, because there's lots of these people now. This redemption movement has been in place for at least 15 years, and a lot of people are skilled at this now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, we're about out of time, but I want to underscore one thing, and you brought that out in what you just alluded to. The grassroots level, on a grassroots level, you know, we must, let's say, encourage or demand even that our states abide by those constitutions, those original constitutions.
Right.
Because the federal government keeps dealing with everything as a federal issue. Everything they want to control becomes, you have to do this because it's federal law. Usurping the state law. And according to the state code in my state, and I know it's this way in many other states, there is no law above that state law.
Mm-hmm.
There is none. And there is no local law that can contradict the state law.
Right.
And here you have a federal government coming in dictating to the local legislators and local governments.
Yes, that's the thing. And that's why we need people who are skilled in this to make their knowledge available to others who will. How many local legislators, you know, common council people, supervisors, whatever they're called, know that? Very few. They just buy into what the mainstream's been feeding them for, you know, for all their lives. As you just said, the country was founded by states. This this preceded the federalization of the 13 original colonies. The founding state constitution is the law of the land in your state, and it's the highest law of the land. So when you have these federal people telling you, you got to do what we say, your local sheriff has the authority, the constitutional authority, to say, not in my district, you're not telling anybody anything. And when it comes to vaccines, I just saw a video, a retired sheriff by the name of Mack. He said,
Richard Mack, that would be, yeah.
You try to force vaccination in your state, you call your sheriff. Constitutionally, he's absolutely right. The sheriff can tell the feds to take a hike. Now, that doesn't mean all sheriffs are going to be on our side, and you know, but I'm sure there are at least some of them out there who are on our side.
Yeah.
We got to get a lot more of them to come onto our side, too.
Well, I got to let you know that Richard McDonald is an old, old friend of Drew Raines. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Drew met him and at least listened to three lectures that he conducted on state citizenship in Arkansas. So,
well, he's a wonderful soul because he tells people how to free yourself from these bonds of slavery that we've all unwittingly, unknowingly entrenched ourselves in. Of course, we didn't know all this. You don't blame anyone for this, but I love Richard McDonald because, you know, doesn't try to make money on people. Doesn't try to sell you an expensive course. This guy's been doing yeoman work for at least, 20 years or so at least.
Yeah.
He deserves our gratitude. Of course, there's many other like him, but I give him kudos because he's been doing this for so long. He's helped thousands of people learn that they can take control of their legal life.
Yes.
And the government can't push you around when you know what to do.
Well, Ken, we're out of time, but I want to give you the opportunity to give out your email address, website, any way you want folks to contact you.
Okay, thank you. The website is educate-yourself.org, educate-yourself.org. org. If you want to contact me, I have a two email addresses. They're both on the Contact Us page, so you can use either one to contact me. And I can't always answer all my email. I like to read it all and answer it all, but there's times in which I can't get to all of it, so I might be a week late in getting back. I may miss your email altogether, but send it anyway, because very often I read something that's important and it registers, and I use that information to connect some dots. So if you've got something important to say, please send an email. I'll try to answer, of course, but if I don't, it's not intentional. It's only because of overload that I can't get to all of them.
Yeah. Well, Ken, I want to thank you for being on tonight's show. You're going to be a guest again Tuesday, the 29th of September, so I look forward to your next appearance. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about then as well. And I want to encourage folks to check out your website. You can spend the rest of your life there and not read everything that's there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
I may be getting like that a little bit in my audio archives, but, you know, mm-hmm. nothing like what you've got mm-hmm. for documentation. So thanks for being on the show, and thank you for your kind words about Don Harkins, too.
Right. Thanks.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Ken will be back, as I just mentioned, Tuesday, the 29th of September. Be sure to tune in for another informative show, hopefully inspiring as well. And we always try to bring out some solutions in these shows so that you're not left with this feeling of fear and helplessness. Special thanks go out to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying tonight's show. Special thanks are due to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. BBSRadio.com, for that matter, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when my special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. I wish everyone in the listening audience a night or day filled with peace, love, and light. For those of you whose bedtime it is, I